day after day, week after week, to American Jewish groups first, say, from Kansas City, then Chicago, then Eastover, so you see what you are up against. These are people from different parts of the country, but they come in with the very same information, the same set of questions, the same criticism. They know what you have done even in private meetings. They will say, Mr. Smith, we understand that in interagency meetings, you frequently take a hard line against technology transfers to Israel. We'd like you to explain yourself. Emphasis supplied. Jewish groups in turn press Capitol Hill into action. We'll get letters from congressmen. We need an explanation. We are hearing from constituents that Israel's security is threatened by the refusal of the Pentagon to release the AIM-9L missile. Please, Mr. Secretary, can you give me your rationale for the refusal? Every official of prominence in the State and Defense Departments proceeds on the assumption and certainty that at least once a week he will have to deal with a group from the Jewish community. One of them summarizes, one has to keep in mind the constant character of this pressure. The public affairs staff of the Near East Bureau in the State Department figures it will spend about 75% of its time dealing with Jewish groups. Hundreds of such groups get appointments in the executive branch each year, emphasis supplied. In acting to influence U.S. policy in the Middle East, the Israeli lobby has the field virtually to itself. Other interest groups and individuals who might provide some measure of counterbalancing pressure have only begun to get organized. The Pollard spy case for many years, the penetration of our defense and State Department secrets by the Israelis, has been denied vigorously and dismissed as preposterous until the sensational Pollard spy case was broken. Pollard, a Jewish American citizen, was caught in 1987 after a long record of espionage activities on behalf of Israel. He was captured just as he was entering the Israeli embassy in Washington seeking refuge. He and his wife were convicted of espionage, and he was sentenced to life in prison. The American Jewish community's reaction was of horror and embarrassment. The Israeli government passed it off as a rogue operation which the Israeli government, they swore, did not know anything about. This was too much for almost anyone in the U.S. Jewish community to swallow. Henry Siegman, the executive director of the American Jewish Congress, summed up his reaction in these words, published in the Los Angeles Times, "The Pollard spy scandal has played itself out as a tragedy in three acts, stupidity, arrogance, and cover-up. When the information about Israeli spying against the U.S. first came to light, it was seen as unbelievably stupid. It was difficult to imagine what conceivable gain would justify jeopardizing the massive economic and military support that Israel receives from the U.S. then came Act 2 as we watched in disbelief the rewarding of those responsible for what Israel has insisted was an illicit operation. Nothing but arrogance could account for what appeared as Israel's nose thumbing at America's sense of a friend betrayed. One of the spy masters received a fat job as head of a major government enterprise, the other was promoted to the command of Israel's second largest air force base, since in the real world rogues are not rewarded asterisk, emphasis supplied. Joseph Jaffe, who is the foreign editor and columnist of the Süddeutsche Zeitung in Munich, in an article reprinted in the Los Angeles Times, explains his reactions. Many American Jews have given vent to anxieties thought to be safely buried. We've had it so good in America, and now there is Jonathan Pollard, like the Rosenbergs decades ago, to provide the Goyim with their best ammunition against us, the dual loyalty smear. In Israel, on the other hand, widespread shame and anger directed at the government has been mixed with defiance toward the American Jewish community, emphasis supplied. He adds that, instead of cringing, American Jews should draw comfort from the fact that they will not be held accountable for the stupidities of Israel's government, which has added cowardice to chutzpah in the handling of Pollard. And the aftermath. Hyman Bookbinder, special representative in Washington for the American English American Jewish Committee, and other Jewish leaders have called the Pollard case the most serious breach ever between Israel and America and its 6 million Jews. The following are excerpts from an article appearing in the Los Angeles Times by Richard B. Strauss, Dateline Washington, Some call it the Teflon country, but Israel, like the US president associated with the term, finds the going sticky these days. First came the Iran arms scandal. Although the Tower Commission went to great lengths to differentiate between Israeli involvement and ultimate American responsibility for decision-making, the impression lingers that Israelis pushed and prodded the Reagan administration into disaster. As Vice President George Bush was quoted as saying to the commission, "We were in the grips of the Israelis." Even an administration official considerably more sympathetic to Israel than Bush, Secretary of State George P. Shultz, expressed concern about Israel promoting interests not coincidental with the US. But now the Israelis find themselves on the receiving end of some of the harshest criticism in recent years from those very same congressional friends, and the issue is not Iran-related. The trouble is the notorious spy case involving Jonathan J. Pollard. When the former US Navy Department analyst with high-level security clearance was nabbed last year passing classified information to Israel, the Israeli government disclaimed all responsibility, claiming that Pollard's activities were part things have not turned out that way. First, the smuggled intelligence data turned out to be extremely sensitive. Second, two Israelis behind this rogue operation were promoted rather than punished by the Israeli most important Pollard-related events have ignited a growing storm of outrage from Israel's most important backers, Congress and the IF. As one congressman complained, the promotion of Pollard's Israeli handlers rubbed our noses into it. American Jewish leaders were in an even less enviable position. A group of them visiting Israel last week made their displeasure unmistakably clear and unexpectedly, but instead of chastening their Israeli hosts, the American Jewish leader's remarks only prompted more tough talk from Jerusalem. Said one well-connected official, "It is very wrong for the American Jewish community to go as far as it did. You don't put Israel on trial because a few people have been accused." Other Israelis went even further, accusing American Jews of responding harshly because of their fears of being accused of dual loyalty. The respected Israeli political theorist Shlomo Avini retold an Israeli newspaper that American Jews, despite their material success and intellectual achievements, fear they may not be seen as the internecine battle raged. American Jews, who within the last decade have attained important posts in the US foreign policy bureaucracy, have begun to join the angry chorus. They charge that their views, not their identities, were being compromised. Said one Jewish State Department official, "What Pollard shows is not that Jews, but Israel is in many ways. The Israeli government's arrogance is a human response to the years of blind support by a highly activist part of the American Jewish community for anything Israel does, even if it ultimately hurts Israel. Israel, right or wrong, is wrong for everybody." Alexander Cockburn, columnist for Nation, in the March 18, 1987, edition of the Wall Street Journal expresses his views of the matter. "American Jews nervously ponder the fact that other spies for Israel may be brought to book, and fear the revival of the old charges of duel they have sent a high-level delegation to Israel to impress upon that country's government. The delicacy of the situation and the damage inflicted on US-Israeli relations. They and others have asked how it is that the Israeli government could have acted with such careless arrogance, first to enter into such a relationship with Pollard, and finally to promote the two men identified as Pollard's senior Israeli handlers." The answer is simple enough. Israel, as represented by its recent governments, has acted with careless arrogance because it had every reason to believe that its carelessness would be unchecked, and it's so it had nothing to do with the loaded phrase dual loyalty to say that the furious resistance among many of Israel's admirers in this country to any criticism or any act of any Israeli government in recent times has inevitably fostered in the minds of many Israeli officials the notion that they can get away with anything. Fortified by their yes men here, Israeli officials no doubt conceived that they would remain immune from sanctions concerning such activities as the bombing of the US intelligence ship, Liberty, continued occupation of the territories, illegal settlements, sabotage of any realistic peace process, invasion of Lebanon, bombing of Tunis, and so forth. The lesson, however, is never learned. Some Israelis are lashing out bitterly at US Jews for failing to stand up for the Pollards, and have started a Citizens for